I'm sure many of you know the song, and it's been the kind of lyric that's been added to country songs for days on end. I saw the light. I saw the light. It's almost like a refrain that's the moment in which someone's trajectory in life has been dramatically changed. And in this story we have from the Apostle Paul, this is the second time we hear about his conversion story, though this is the first time we hear it from his own mouth, first time it was told about him by Luke, the writer. Here Paul is speaking it, and later he's going to do it again in the presence of Agrippa in the midst of his own trial. But three times we hear about this story. Three times we hear the details of this story. And three times we hear about the fact that the light shines, you see the light, and then a little while later, 3 days, he knows what the light means. He trusts in the one who appeared to him. And what I want to discuss this morning is the beauty of not only having the light shine in, but understanding the nature of that light, knowing it, trusting it, following it. For seeing the light isn't enough. Seeing the light isn't all that which can help us navigate the road ahead. We need to know the warmth of that light. It's not the purpose of light to just shine the light in your way. It's also, it brings heat. It brings warmth. It's not just having your eyes open, but it's having, as it were, the inside thawed out. It's the beauty of what light is like. It brings visual ability as well as warmth. And in this passage from the Apostle Paul, he's describing his journey. I've been thinking about our walk through the book of Acts in this second half, after Paul's conversion, all the various things that he's endured on three missionary journeys, and the way in which he's been persecuted and thrown out of cities and flogged and just disparaged everywhere he went, and having arguments over faith and life and yet being bold. And what is it that keeps him going in the midst of such obstacles? What is it that he holds on to? And at the end of the day, you know what it is? It's a story. It's a personal story of something that has happened to him that he can't fully explain, but he knows to be true. It's not a philosophical principle. It's not something that is, in his view, kind of politically makes sense. It's not an overarching, grand understanding of how life works. It's actually a personal story in which something happened to him that he didn't want, he didn't welcome, but it changed the very course of his life. A personal story. And in this personal story, he describes what his life once looked like. We all have our stories, don't we, of what our life has looked like in the past. And we all know whether or not we were like the prodigal son who'd gone off and just done everything that we are ashamed of, or we're like the older son who stays at home saying, you know, if I just work hard and do my duty, I'm going to get everything that I had coming to me. Either way, it's not a past that is something that we should be bragging about. It's a graceless reality. One of just throwing caution to the wind, the other doing my duty, and then thinking that's what God wants of us. We all have our stories of what our past looks like. Whether it's awful, or whether it's pharisaical or judgmental religiousness. But usually there comes a moment in someone's life when the light shines. And this is where people get kind of hung up, though, and missing the point on the light shining. When the light shines on someone, when truth comes to bear on the life of someone, it's usually and rarely ever welcomed. Like, it's not a fun thing to have the light shine and you see yourself for who you are. It's not something that we welcome. And Paul, living this life of religiosity, following what he thought was to be true, even persecuting the church, now gets knocked off on his horse. This isn't some kind of moment where the angels all appear and say, "Hallelujah," the hallelujah chorus starts going, and he gets up and says, "I've been found." He is in shock. He can't see. And he hears a voice. Voice of Jesus. One that his companions do not understand. The text says that they also saw the light, but they didn't hear it. The word there is to hear with understanding. They didn't know what was happening, but they knew something dramatic was taking place. We all have our moments in life when we see the light, when we are shown what is true. We see ourselves for who we really are, and those aren't welcome things. Don't think for a moment that when God shines his light on us, that we're naturally receptive to that. We're not. We're fallen human beings. It's like someone who has been living in a cave coming out into the sunlight. It's hard to see, and you think, how long is it going to take for my eyes to adjust? But when the light shines on someone, what usually follows that? Well, interestingly, when the light shines on Paul, the Lord uses someone who's his own to go in to meet him. This is another great thing about this passage, the personal connection of someone who comes and delivers the word of the Lord in a unique way. And for those of us who have followed the Lord, who trust in him, we never have a moment where it just all makes sense to us absent the connection with other people involved. Not to say that couldn't happen. Not to say that if you crashed your plane in Antarctica, God couldn't save you then and there in the midst of an entire wasteland of nobody. But he uses people to come into our lives, to speak to us, to help us to make sense of the light which we saw. Because light itself, again, is not just something that enables us to see, but there needs to be a warmth to it. And usually comes through somebody working in and through our lives, uniquely placed. A teacher, a coach, a neighbor, a grandfather or a grandmother who tells us the stories of truth as they put us on their knee. Parents, as they teach us our lessons of life every day. College professor, missionary, a pastor, usually is someone who helps us make sense of that which we know isn't right with us. But there's a shining of the light, but then there's someone coming into the midst to help us to make sense of it, who's living out this life in a way that we didn't think possible. Someone who embodies forgiveness and grace and yet is bold and courageous to stand for truth when everybody wants to run away from it. You see in their lives the very example of the light that is shining out from them. And Paul, as he stands in the midst of another arrest, simply for what he believes, draws strength from and even tells the people about his story. Here's who I was. Here's where I was knocked off my horse completely. Here's someone who came and helped make sense of it all. And now I stand before you. Now I stand before you, proclaiming what happened to me, what I believe to be true in and through Jesus Christ. And as we'll see again, he thought this story would make perfect sense. I'm sure it did to some, but it would, again, lead to his arrest. It would lead to him spending many years in prison. It would lead to him, again, as I said last week, getting on a boat, heading to Rome to make his defense, where he's shipwrecked. There's a long road ahead. But oh, he would tell the story again to another ruler, Agrippa. Because what keeps him going is something that happened to him in spite of who he was and in contradiction to all the things that he thought were right. Changed him. And what I want to say this morning is that the only thing that will keep us going in this journey of faith is a story with similar aspects to it. To unashamedly be able to speak about who we once were. To point to times in our life when the light has shined and we didn't really enjoy it that much. Either didn't make sense or was really exposing, it was made us vulnerable. But we knew God was at work, wanting us to turn from something and turn towards something. And then in the midst of that moment of light shining onto us, we will be helped in our journey from someone wiser or someone who was just walking alongside of us. Or we will be reminded of something that we were taught in our past by someone who we admired because they lived out the faith in a way that was remarkable. Not perfect, but with humility, with grace, and with truth. And then, it's not just seeing the light, therefore, but through the example of people, we'll begin to know it. To know who it is who's speaking to us. To know who it is that we're following. And that knowledge of Him is the one thing that will guide us and lead us in every decision we make in the future and the road that we will walk despite how others treat us. It will give us the courage to stand when people are all falling to the wayside. It will give us the strength to hold what is true when falsehood is being celebrated. It will give us the grace to be forgiving when we want to be hard and legalistic. It's multifaceted, but it is the story of what has happened to us in spite of ourselves. I was in Colorado Springs this past week at a Presbyterian gathering, the fellowship, and I was reflecting during worship in the morning just on my own call and the twists and turns that it's taken to ministry. And I grew up in the faith, but I had a very unique call experience that is the one thing that keeps me going in the midst of ministry, because it's something that took place in a way that I could never have orchestrated or planned. It was a very vulnerable time in my own life in which I had pursued a career path in college that I knew was not something that I really wanted to pursue. I was very confused about my future. And in the midst of that time, I knew that I couldn't do it. I knew that something had to change. I knew that I was being kind of directed to a path that was not of my own choosing. And I had some professors and some pastors who were encouraging me during this time to consider the ministry. And I said no. I couldn't think of a single pastoral influence in my life growing up that I admired. My sister, in fact, was very dismayed and said, "You're going to be a pastor. You can't watch a rated R movie ever again." Didn't know that should be on my checklist of things I needed to go through. And I was determined not to do this. I was a Christian, but I had mapped out my life in a particular way. And it all began to unravel, all began to fall apart, and it's a longer story than I can get into this morning. But all I know is that I knew that I was being The light was shining on me, and I didn't like it very much. It wasn't something that I welcomed. It wasn't the plan that I had for my life. And there were people who were speaking into my life at that time. I wasn't particularly happy with what they were advising. But all I know is that one afternoon, I was in Jamestown, North Dakota, where I'd gone to school, Presbyterian school, and over the night it had dropped 2 feet. And I don't exaggerate when I say 2 feet. It snowed so much during my years there. If you ever have a chance to move to North Dakota, don't. It's cold. It's when you plow the Walmart parking lot and it covers the lamps way up high, you know you're in a cold place. But I was out shoveling snow in the apartment that I was renting, 2 feet. It took me 2 hours. All I know about that moment is that I walked out to shovel firmly convinced that I was going to tell everybody no, I'm not going to be a pastor. And I walked back in after those 2 hours. I called my dad and said, "Would you be embarrassed?" He said, "No." I can't make sense of that moment. But it's when I knew I could make sense of the light that was shining on me. And he doesn't call everybody to be a pastor, but he calls people to follow him. And to do so, we have to make sense of the light. We have to make sense of the words that he's speaking to us through people. And during that time, I had been engaged in a lot of discussions on what I should do. And it's one of those bizarre decisions that I've made that I usually make decisions and then question them. I'm wired that way. I test them out. I like trying on a pair of shoes. I like buying a pair of shoes, taking them home, trying them out, and then taking them back if I don't like them. I'm okay with that. I want to make sure it fits. I never did that with this one. And I can't make sense of that other than God doing something to me that I couldn't do for myself. Do you know the light? Is the light shining on you in a way that's making you uncomfortable right now? Do you know what he's saying in the midst of you? I grew up in the church, and maybe some of you here who have come to church for years, you've seen the light, but do you know it? Are you in a particular circumstance in your life when you know that you're at a crossroads? Who's speaking into your life? Who are you going to listen to? The very thing that kept Paul going was a story that wasn't his. It wasn't his plan, but he knew that he had been gripped by someone. Philippians 4:3 talks about being God grabbing us by the scruff of our neck. That's a beautiful thing. We need that. Grabbing us and pulling us out of the pit and showing us a life that is glorious and true. It's not enough to see the light, it's to know it. And when you know it, you'll stand in front of scoffers. You'll be on the side of abuse. You will be vilified for what you say you believe. Culture will look at you and say, "Man, that's nonsense. A God who becomes human, who dies for your sins, do you need that? And then was raised again on the third day? Seriously?" You say, "Yeah, I believe that. I know that. Because I know the one who has called my name. I know the one who has brought me out of darkness into his glorious light. I know the one who has given me a life that I could never have imagined for myself. And when all falls away, when the storms are strong, I can stand knowing that he is with me on the boat and he will see me through to the other side." To see and to know the light. He invites you to know him. Do you know the voice of the one who is speaking to you right now? Let's pray.